Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and Dan Baum likes guns. He's also, to use his words, a stoop-shouldered, bald-headed, middle-aged Jew in pleated pants and glasses, unquote, who's a Democrat, a one-time New Yorker staff writer, who was raised in South Orange and now lives in Boulder, Colorado, with his guns. And he has a book that couldn't be more pertinent about his attempts to bridge the gap between gun culture and liberal Democrats. It's called Gun Guys, A Road Trip. Welcome back to the show, Dan Baum.
Thank you very much.
And I say welcome back because you were on a while back to talk about a piece you did for Harper's about getting your concealed carry permit, and that became part of this book, right?
It did. That was the genesis of this book.
And are you packing heat, as they say today, or is that an impolite question?
In New York? I can't be trusted in New York with a 32-ounce soft drink. I'm certainly not carrying a gun.
So your permit would not be good here?
No, it's good in 30 states.
So you now,
I stopped carrying the gun. Uh-huh. I no longer carry the gun. I carried the gun to get into the gun guy head for the book, and I carried it as kind of a Masonic pin because, as you say, I don't look like a gun guy. So I'm traveling around places like Kentucky and Nebraska trying to get gun guys to open up about their lives. Nothing says gun guy like a gun. I'm wearing a gun. I'm one of them.
So you went on this road trip to get to know gun guys. What was the biggest assumption that you had that may have been proved wrong?
I'll tell you the big surprises for me, the things that I didn't know. I knew that guns were attractive devices that last forever, that there's a lot of fun in shooting and zen in shooting. And I had a vague sense of the Second Amendment argument. But what I didn't really understand was how much self-esteem gun guys get from being gun guys. And this is not – and it's often –
self-esteem.
It's often misunderstood. And people think, oh, you've got this gun so you can kill people. You can blow people away so you feel powerful. It's actually the opposite. And this was the surprise. Gun guys get a lot of self-esteem out of being able to manage and use effectively these very dangerous devices with nobody getting hurt around them. And they take a lot of pride in that. I mean, the guns are – incredibly dangerous. And you live among your guns, you use your guns, you teach people to use guns, and nobody gets hurt. And they get a lot of pride in that. The other thing that I hadn't counted on was for a lot of gun guys, guns represent a unique relationship we have in the United States between the people and the government. Our system of government places a lot of trust in ordinary people. We have a lot of freedom. The government places a lot of trust in us to speak, to publish, to pray, to assemble, but also to own and carry guns. And a lot of gun guys get a lot of pride out of, as they see it, participating in American history. They're embodying that unique relationship. Now, for better or worse, and I know I'm speaking to people in New York and New Jersey who don't like that, but mm-hmm. I'm not asking, and as I say in the book, I'm not asking you to like these guys. I'm asking you to hear these guys, because if you want to make gun policy, you ought to know who you're dealing with and the powerful emotions that you're dealing with.
Anybody listening who would describe yourself as a gun guy in the sense that Dan Baum means it, or anyone else want to call in with your reactions to what he's saying as he talks about his new book, Gun Guys, A Road Trip, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show to post a comment. On the self-esteem.
Yes.
We all remember President Obama famously got caught on tape in a fundraiser in 2008 saying that a lot of working-class white people cling to their guns because they're losing economic hope. Do you agree with that analysis?
It's slightly different than that, if I may. And this is a complicated thing, but the bulge of the gun guy demographic, by no means all the gun guys, but the center of the gun guy demographic, if you look at the industry statistics about who buys and uses guns, are middle-aged white men who have not finished college. Now, that is a group that has been particularly screwed in this economy over the last 30 years. Those are the guys who did not get a wage increase since 1978, and on and on. And in this country, we don't have a vocabulary for discussing class. That's a class issue. And if you think about or describe your own situation in terms of class, you're considered a loser. You're making excuses for yourself. The French understand class. Other countries understand class. But here it's almost forbidden speech to talk about class. So these guys are angry. And as I'm driving around the country, I'm encountering a lot of anger. And at first it was a puzzle because the NRA has won every battle it's fought in the last 20 years. And these guys are angry about their guns. And I couldn't figure it out until it slowly dawned on me. They're not really angry about their guns. They're angry. And the only people giving them an analysis is the NRA, who's whispering in their ear, you're angry because the liberals want to take away your guns. So Obama's comment was kind of right, but it's more complicated, as most things usually are.
So as a class analysis, are some of those same people angry at the banks, angry at the rich for having taxes that are too low?
That's the problem. And I talk about several people in this book. There's an African-American auto worker in Detroit in the book who becomes a big concealed carry advocate after his whole life and career falls apart with the rest of the auto industry in Detroit. And I say in the book, you know, I wish he had a broader analysis. I wish he had, you know, I wish he was thinking about, as you say, the banks and the rich, but he's not. But he's got this gun that has, frankly, it has restored some meaning to his life. And again, you can say, well, that's screwball and that's too bad, but it is what it is. I'm not commenting. I'm just reporting on what I'm finding.
Let's take a phone call. Joe in Westchester, you're on WNYC. Hi, Joe.
Yes, hi. I want to comment about what you were talking about earlier about gun owners and the self-esteem issue. I was a gun owner for many, many years when I was not living in the state. I was living in Vermont, mm-hmm. and I owned a business, and I carried a gun, and I learned how to use it. And living up in Vermont, it's very much part of the culture. If you want to make any friends, you got to go shooting with the guys. Mm. And it's not the type of people you think that go shooting, but that's a whole other topic. But what I want to say is when I had a gun and I carried a gun, I was a lot more respectful of other people,
yes.
other people's infringements. I mean, I never suffered from road rage when I had a gun with
Bingo.
Me. I will suffer from road rage when I have no gun. When I had a gun in the car, I was like, go ahead, it's all yours.
Yes, because you don't know when you're carrying a gun. I found this to be true, and I've got a scene in the book where somebody in New Orleans calls me a bad name when I'm carrying my gun, and I experience this calm that comes
yes.
over me because mm-hmm. you don't know where that will end. You get angry at the guy who cut you off, and then there's an altercation, and he comes at you with a wrench. And you have to shoot him. Then you have shot a man because he cut you off on the road. So
right.
you are absolutely right. You know, the gun guys like to quote Robert Heinlein saying, an armed society is a polite society.
And it's kind of a
bumper sticker mm. slogan, but in a yeah. way, it's kind of true. And it turns out that the people who are licensed to carry concealed weapons in this country commit murder at one quarter the rate of the rest of the population.
Joe, before you go, when you say there are a lot of people who like to go shooting in Vermont, that wouldn't be the kind of people we would think. You're saying there are a lot of Green Mountain Heights, they go out shooting and then they go vote for Bernie Sanders?
Yes.
I
lived in part of Vermont that was right next to Dartmouth College. And I belonged to a gun club, and a lot of the people I shot with were doctors at Dartmouth.
Yeah. Joe, thank you very much. But a lot of people may live in a respectful culture or a culture of respect because they carry a gun and they have such awe for the destructive potential of the gun. But we see all these stats that indicate that society-wide, when there's a society that's saturated with guns, there's just, you know, more shooting.
I'm not sure I agree, because in the last 20 years, gun laws have gotten looser everywhere in the United States. The number of privately owned guns tripled. And in the same 20 years, violent crime fell by half. Now, the gun guys would say there's a direct relationship, mm-hmm. that more guns equals less crime because bad guys don't know who's armed. I am not sure you can make that direct relationship, but certainly more guns do not equal more crime. I mean, that just isn't true.
Maybe not always crime, but the stats that I'm thinking of that have been part of this national debate have to do with if you have a gun in the home,
Kellerman's study. That's that old study.
And the Journal of Epidemiology, one that I read, that, you know, much more likely to be used in a suicide or on somebody in a home than in self-defense.
Well, the problem, what the gun guys would say is the problem with those studies is they're not differentiating between your mother keeping a gun in her house, who's untrained, and me, who knows how to handle a gun, who's got a proper gun safe. I went after the gun guys in a Wall Street Journal piece 2 weeks ago, and I do in the book, because gun guys are not careful enough about locking up their guns, and that's a big issue.
And you call for better practices.
I do. And I actually think a lot of the bad stuff that happens in this country happens with guns that were legally bought and then either stolen or found by a depressed teenager. And if we just locked them up, we would accomplish gun control without government, and it would be what everybody wants.
But if you have a society that's saturated with guns, a lot of people are going to react the way you described, which is that they tone it down in an argument because they carry a gun. There's going to be a smaller percentage that winds up getting carried away, and they use the gun.
See, here's the thing, though. We already have 300 million guns in this country, and they don't wear out. So what I'm always reaching for is how do we live more safely around all these guns? And you can ban future guns and all that kind of thing, but really, it's too late. So how do we live more safely around these 300 million guns? And I would argue we need to bring the gun guys into the debate, which is why I wrote this book.
And how do we, in our last minute, do that? Is it through universal background checks? Is that something that's just a consensus position, or how do we get there?
The way we start is by showing each other respect. And we don't show respect when we say things like, Sandy Hook is the fault of this terrible gun culture, because law-abiding gun guys say, wait a minute, I'm gun culture, and my guns don't hurt anybody. And you're saying I'm responsible for Sandy Hook? We need to lower the temperature on this conversation and both sides. The gun guys need to show more respect to those who are upset about gun violence, and the gun control faction needs to show more respect to the gun guys.
Dan Baum's new book is Gun Guys, A Road Trip. He will be speaking tonight, by the way, if you want to continue this conversation, at NYU's Arthur L. Carter Journalism Institute at 6:30. That's at 20 Cooper Square, 6:30 tonight. More information on our website. And Dan Baum.
No pitchforks and torches, please.
Not tonight?
Yeah, please, no.
Yeah, just because you don't need a license to carry a pitchfork, right?
Right.
Brian Lehrer, WNYC.